We're going to be in Psalm 23, a very familiar passage, Psalm 23. Your little podium here is throwing me off. It's higher than mine. So it's amazing how all those little logistical things can get you a little off sometimes. But Psalm 23, very familiar passage. And then let's pray as we get ready to go in here. Father, as we come now to your word, I pray that you would bless this time and that you would speak to our hearts and minds. Help us to have hearts open to receive your truth and to use it in our lives. Help us as we grow and as we walk with you day by day. Lord, bless our time now. In Jesus' name, amen. Psalm 23, very familiar psalm, one that most of you probably know by heart here, one that even often unsafe people, particularly in the nursing home setting, will know just from their background, from history. This is probably one of the most widely circulated passages of Scripture, maybe next to John 3:16. And the problem is, whenever we have a passage of Scripture that has become that familiar, is we can miss the trees for the forest. We just say, well, it's Psalm 23, and we move on. That's about the Good Shepherd, and that's all we know. So I shared this with my folks a couple weeks ago, and so I'm looking forward to going through this again. But we're going to dive right in here. Psalm 23, let's read the first four verses here. It says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me." And the reason I stop there is David kind of changes the imagery a bit in the middle there. And for our purposes tonight, those first four verses are going to accomplish what we want to accomplish. And really, as we look at those, verse 1, we could say, is a summary statement of the entire passage. "The Lord is my shepherd" is simply a statement of truth. David here is just saying, this is what is true. The Lord is my shepherd, period. There's not a period there in your Bible, but that's kind of the statement. And because of that, I shall not want. God is the cause of my not wanting anything. There is great hope here. If you want to not be wanting in life, then you need the cause. You need God in your life. So he says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." Well, what is it that I shall not want for? And that's what David is going to outline in the next three verses. He's going to outline all these areas that he will not want. And those areas are good and they're important to us because we like to not want. We like to not feel that pressure of needing something. But that's not what's important. Those are good things. But David here keeps the focus on the right place. He keeps the focus on that initial cause. "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." He's not focused on what he needs. He's not focused on what those wants are. Rather, he is focused on the one who makes those wants irrelevant. So as we look at these, let's keep that in mind, try and keep that perspective like David. Verse 2, "He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters." Now, as you keep sheep, I have not kept sheep, but I'm in an area where there are a lot of sheep, a lot of cattle, a lot of animals, period. And I told Gary Lees tonight, he said, "Well, you ought to get a goat." And I said, "Well, I think we are going to get a goat. We can't have a dog, so let's get a goat. It's Montana. You know, that's what you do. You have animals, right?" And so maybe this summer my wife will come home from Russia to a couple of little goats. We will see. But we're working on getting the girls into 4-H. So if you know what that's about, then great. I still don't, and we'll get there. But if you keep sheep, any hired hand can make sure the sheep are fed and watered. Anybody can do that. You got to get them a certain amount of food. You got to get them to a place where they can drink. Any hired hand can do that. And it doesn't matter what the country is. Sheep can find something to eat. All right, they're grazers. They can eat a lot of different things. They eat the weeds out of the fields. I'm learning that they cycle different animals through the fields at different times. And the horses are really picky. Cows a little less picky. And then sheep come in and they eat all the weeds out. And so sheep can eat just about anywhere. So you don't have to necessarily give them real great places to eat. They can graze just about anywhere. Not quite as bad as a goat, but pretty close. But notice here that the shepherd here, he does not just take these sheep anywhere. He makes them lie down in green pastures. This is lush feeding ground for them. This is a place of safety and of comfort for them. And any hired hand could make sure that the sheep are fed and watered. But we are not dealing with a hired hand. We are dealing with the shepherd. David says, he is my shepherd. And David's saying, my shepherd allows me, he takes me to the good places, to green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. I shall not want for food. I shall not want for comfort because of who my shepherd is. That does not mean that in this life we have no discomfort, we have no want, that we are never hungry. But there is an attitude here of the heart, and there's, again, it is towards that initial cause. It is towards the Lord. And what is happening here is there is an intimate care and knowledge. A hired hand will take care of the animals. They will make sure they're fed and watered, but the shepherd has an intimate care and a knowledge. He wants what is best for his sheep. Not just enough, not just sufficient. He wants what is best for his sheep. And that's the way the Lord treats us. That's what David is saying here when he says, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want for the best. Now, sometimes what God wants for us is, and then what he says is the best is not what we would say is the best. And I think we all know that here tonight, that life does not always feel like a green pasture, does not always feel like still waters, but that is what he is providing. And when we are trusting the shepherd, the pasture is green. No matter what it may really look like, the waters are calm, no matter what they may really look like. Right now, we have the Madison River, and it's one of the few rivers in the world that freezes from the bottom up. And so right now, it looks real calm because it's frozen, solid. It's only about 3 feet deep at the deepest part, and it's frozen solid. Now, come spring, that ice is going to start to crack, and they say when it's really good, the river will actually explode. That's not calm water, even though it looks like it right now. But God leads us beside the still waters. He provides that peace. He provides that calm because that's what is best. And he gives us what is best. Verse 3, he restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Now, sheep have a tendency to wander. They cycle them through. So they typically will chop the field up a bit with some fencing or some temporary fencing to keep the sheep in one particular part so they'll eat the weeds out of that part and not just wander all over. But there are a few places where they let the sheep just kind of go. And they scatter over miles and miles. And so often you wonder, is this still the same field? And you realize, yes, it is. I've only been driving for 40 minutes. And it's just, that's the way things are out there, all right? And so the sheep get all over the place. But here, God here is putting in some limits. He says, he restoreth my soul. There is this idea of renewal, and he sets them on the right path. He's not just letting the sheep wander wherever. He's not just letting them go hither and yon, but rather he is directing their path into the paths of, here that's called the paths of righteousness. And he doesn't just do this for the sake of the sheep. A good shepherd will put his sheep in safe pastures. He will put them on the way between different pastures that is safe for them. Because sheep wander and sheep go off the path. They get into dangerous areas. They will hurt themselves. But here he puts down a special path for them that says they will be safe. They'll get protected. They can move from point A to point B and not be harmed. And it's not just for the sheep's sake, but for his name's sake. Because whose reputation is on the line? The shepherd. The Lord's name is on the line here. Lord, when Christian people don't behave like Christian people, whose name is it that is getting tarnished? It's not ours. It's God's. It's God's. But God, as part of his role as the shepherd here, he sets about this pattern of renewal. He restores our soul. He puts us back on the right path. This is kind of the imagery here. This is taking someone who's off the right path, puts them back on the right path for his name's sake, so that he will receive the glory and honor that he deserves as the good shepherd. But it's also for our good, because this is a shepherd who wants our best. In verse 4, this is probably my favorite part of this entire psalm, even though it may be kind of the darkest part. Verse 4 says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. And David, using the imagery of a shepherd and the sheep, there is a lot of things packed in here, and we want to kind of get through all of it. But the first thing we got to remember is the end of verse 4, or the end of verse 3, rather, is he is leading me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And the very next thing David talks about is, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Folks, the valley is not a mistake. That is part of God's path of righteousness. The valley is not a mistake. Life did not just happen. Things did not just go wrong. The valley didn't just show up. It is part of God's perfect plan. This is part of what is best. Remember that good shepherd that leads you beside the still waters? Sometimes that river runs through a valley. We back home. When I'm in Montana, I don't get to use all this imagery because I just don't. I don't know why I don't think of it. But the Madison River runs right through a canyon. And actually, just this week, Enid showed me we had a tractor trailer roll over, and it was actually hanging out over the river. You could call that a valley of shadow of death. There's a lot of white crosses in that valley because it's a very treacherous place. But it's the only way to get to Bozeman. It's the only way to get to shopping, to food, to all the things that we have very easy access to here. All right, it's the only way to get there. That is not a bad path. The path is not bad. It is a little more treacherous, but it's the only way. And so often God's path of righteousness will take us through those valleys, those of shadow of death. This is a dark place, a scary place. But David says, yea, though I walk through the valley of shadow of death, I will fear no evil. This is no evil real or imagined. I have young children. Most of you know them. They're a little bigger now, so I hope you see them after. But Evelyn is old enough now to realize that there are things in the dark to be scared of. And we have about 150 feet between the church and our house where we're living. And at night, especially after like a Wednesday night service this time of year, it is pitch black out there. And there's no way on earth she's walking home. She wants up, and Daddy's got to carry her. And so usually I go trucking across the lawn with two kids in my arms because she knows that there are things in the dark to be scared of. There is some danger just associated with darkness to be scared of. But David here says, though I'm in the valley and all is dark, I will fear no evil, and I would say real or imagined. There are things in the dark to be scared of. And as adults, we understand that. All right, we live in bear country. There's things to be scared of in the dark. Around here you've got bad people, we'll put it that way. There are things to be scared of in the dark. But there are things that we'd fear, these anxieties, these worries that beset us, that make us feel as if we're in a valley. And the Good Shepherd is there, says, for thou art with me. It's the very next phrase there. And notice, David has changed his language. He starts out with just a simple statement of truth, the Lord is my shepherd. And then he talks about what the shepherd does, verse 2 and 3. He maketh me to lie down, he leadeth me, he restoreth my soul, he leadeth me. But all of a sudden, now things have gotten dark, now I'm in the valley, now I'm in the hardship. It's changed. Thou art with me. He's no longer talking about a distant person that he trusts in. He's no longer talking about maybe somebody who's on the other side of the flock. He's talking about a God who is right next to him. Thou art with me. This is the shepherd who comes alongside that scared sheep when it's dark because he knows his sheep. He knows what their fears are. He knows what their concerns are. He knows what they fear in the dark, and he is right there with them. All right, thou signifies a closeness. And the shepherd, not only is his presence there to provide security, but he says, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. These are the twin instruments of a shepherd. The rod would be for defense. Think of like a club or a cudgel, perhaps for beating off a wild animal or killing a snake. And the staff, interestingly enough, the staff is not my first thought of a good imagery of something that is good for me, but this is the idea of correction. This is the old shepherd's crook. This was for directing the sheep, perhaps for getting a sheep that was getting into danger and pulling it back. All right, so you have these twin aspects here. You have this defense and this discipline, and both are necessary to provide comfort. The sheep does not feel comforted unless it has both of these things going on. Just as, again, my two-year-old, she knows Daddy is strong. Daddy can protect her. But she also knows that Daddy is the discipline. Daddy is the one who tells her when she is wrong. And because of that, there is great comfort. There is trust there that has been earned. And God, as the Good Shepherd, has earned our trust time and time again. Often we do not see the rod at work. There are millions of dangers around us every day that we seemingly don't even know about that go by us. And we go on about our merry life and nothing is wrong. Just driving in traffic around here. What a terrifying experience that has been the last couple days. And time again, a car would come out of nowhere and it's like, I have no idea where that car even came from, but it's one of the other 10,000 on the road, so praise the Lord, I'm not dead. But the staff, we often see at work, and it's uncomfortable. We often see that at work, and it's uncomfortable. That's the one where we know we've done wrong. I was reading about shepherds would often, if they had a lamb who would not obey, who would keep running away, wouldn't stay with the flock, often they will take that lamb and they will break one of its legs so that it can no longer run on its own. And that seems cruel. That seems unkind. But a good shepherd knows that by doing that, that lamb is going to learn a very important lesson. It's going to learn the safety of the flock. And it's going to learn the care of the shepherd. Because now that lamb requires special attention. And it's going to be stuck right at that shepherd's side for a good long while it heals. And that lamb is never going to run away again. And as it grows into a sheep, it's going to be a good member of the flock. It's going to trust the shepherd even more because of what it has experienced, even though it was painful. So when David says, "The Lord is my shepherd," he is acknowledging him as the cause of his lack of want. And folks, for us tonight, if you feel like you are wanting for anything, then you do not have a right perspective of God. David had suffered many things in his life. We're not sure when Psalm 23 was written, at what point in David's history, but if you think over the stories you know of David and his life, here was a man who knew what the valley of the shadow of death looked like. Here was a man who knew what the rod looked like and knew what the staff looked like. He had been disciplined many times by God. So much so, the end of his life was rife with strife and conflict. His kingdom was messed up forever. And yet, this is the same David that says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." And David never wanted for anything, neither will we, if the Lord is our shepherd. So as we go about our day-to-day life and our day-to-day living, do you trust the shepherd? Do you trust him? Day-to-day, in that valley, and those valleys can come on us suddenly, but they are not a surprise to the shepherd. Do you trust him to get you through it safely? And do you trust that even in the valley that he is helping you to lie down in green pastures? Because if you're with the shepherd, then it can be the darkest valley on the planet. To him, it's a green pasture because of who you're with. Do you trust your shepherd? Father, thank you for just this brief time to look at Psalm 23 once again. Father, I pray that you would give us trust in you as the good shepherd, and that we would see you at work in our lives. And Lord, even when we can't necessarily see you, that we would know that you are our shepherd, as David here stated. And Father, that we can understand that we truly lack for nothing if we walk with you. Lord, we thank you for what you are doing in our lives and what you want to do. Pray that we would let you have your way. In Jesus' name, amen.